many people have been reflecting on how to celebrate Christmas in the time of a pandemic. I suppose that question is in all of our minds, some way or another. I get the impression from some of the media that people have already concluded that they can't really celebrate Christmas because of the pandemic. Can't have the usual gatherings, can't have the usual foods, can't go to the usual places, and therefore no celebration of Christmas. For anyone with faith, of course, that sounds like a crazy, crazy response. As if what is essential to Christmas is the external celebration. Exactly the opposite. What is essential is the birth of a child who is God. And even if there's nothing else, that's already a reason for rejoicing, an overwhelming reason for rejoicing. Today's psalm response alerts us to this great event which is coming. Lift up your heads and see, your redemption is near at hand. I like it because this idea of lifting up our heads is an indication that we shouldn't be focused simply on our earthly celebration. We should be lifting up our sights. We should be raising up our minds and hearts to God. And then we will know what we're celebrating. We will be able to rejoice. Lift up your heads. Lift up your hearts. Lift up the eyes of your faith. See, your redemption is near at hand. And it's very near now. It is the 23rd. Tomorrow night. It's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow night. So this is, if you're following the novena of Masses, this is the 8th day. Tomorrow morning will be the 9th day. And by this time in the novena, of course, well, this is not Simbangabi, but if you've ever participated in the Dawn Masses, you know that in the 8th day, people are starting to get happier because the novena is near the end and you can really see the end. If you talk to people in the 4th day or the 5th day, wow, people are really getting tired, and it seems like it's a long, long time. But by the 8th day, already people's spirits are lifted. And our spirits should be lifted too. In fact, anyone who follows the liturgy has an antidote to this reaction of the world that we can't celebrate because of the pandemic. The liturgy, which these readings and these prayers were chosen years and years before anyone even heard of a pandemic, said this is the reason for our rejoicing, the birth of the child. Well, today's gospel focuses on the birth of a different child, another child, John the Baptist, another miraculous birth, another birth that brings joy. You know that the Gospel of Luke very deliberately sets up a comparison between John and Jesus. I explained this before. There's an annunciation of the coming of John, and then there's an annunciation of the coming of Jesus. Then there's visitation, the meeting of the two mothers, then there's the birth of John, then there's the birth of Jesus. So it's a comparison. Not in the sense of a sharp contrast, bad versus good, dark versus light, or anything like that. Rather, it's the comparison of greatness and much greater greatness. John is an extraordinary figure. The greatest of the prophets. Jesus said, the greatest man born of woman. But Jesus is no prophet. He's so great that John says, I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. There's no comparison. But Luke is making this comparison. So you remember that the annunciation to Zechariah was good news given to an old and barren couple, and it was received with doubt. The annunciation Jesus was good news given to a young virgin, and it was received with faith. Old, new, old, young, barren, virgin, doubt, faith. You see the change. In today's gospel, the birth of the child brings great joy to the neighbors and the relatives. It's an event of celebration. In the birth of Jesus, which we'll celebrate tomorrow night and the next morning, there's no earthly celebration. No one even knew it happened. There's no relatives around because Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. They weren't in Nazareth. But there was an explosion of celebration in heaven. So you see, in the birth of John, oh, everybody's rejoicing on earth. At the birth of Jesus, choirs of angels break into a Gloria in excelsis Deo. You see the contrast again. Greatness and much greater greatness. Human greatness and divine greatness, you could put it that way. In the story of the birth of John, there's a lot of focus on his name. They say, well, we're going to name this child Zechariah because we name him after his father. I don't know why they thought that, because the Jews didn't normally name children after their fathers, but that's what they thought. And perhaps it had something to do with the name Zechariah. Zechariah means in Hebrew something like God remembers or God will remember. I can't remember exactly, but it has to do with remembering. So it's a name that, it's a good name. It's a very good name. There's a number of Zechariahs in the Bible. And it means God remembers. So it's a name that looks back. And Elizabeth says, no, we're not looking back. We're not stuck in the past here. Something new has been introduced by God. This child will be called John. Now, how she knew the name, I don't know, because Zechariah was silent. He couldn't tell her. He must have written it down or somehow communicated it. Or who knows? Maybe, I don't know how she knew the name. But she said his name will be John. They didn't believe her. They asked Zechariah, who can't speak, and apparently can't even hear because they have to communicate with him by making signs to him. And he writes on the tablet, John is his name. Not, I want to call him John. Let's call him John. John will be his name. John is his name, as if to say he's already been named. This new era has already begun. With the conception of this child was named before he was conceived. It's the name that came from heaven. The angel Gabriel told him, name him John. And the name John does not mean God remembers. It means God is gracious. God is gracious. So the message is, not only was God gracious before, he remembers his covenant, he remembers his mercy, but God is gracious now. God is introducing a new grace into time. And this child, well, he will go before the Lord to prepare his way. We know this. He will go before the Lord to prepare his way. He's a grace preparing for greater grace. So this is why we're celebrating. The birth of any child is a miracle, is a grace, is a gift from God, any child. But this child, born of a barren elderly couple, a child chosen from before he was conceived to be the forerunner of the Messiah, this is an extraordinary moment. And the people know it. They say, this is amazing. What will this child be? Surely the hand of the Lord is with him. The message to us, or part of the message to us, is to look for the new grace that God is introducing into our lives. Not to be only remembering how it was or how we we want it to still be. You know, this is why it's not necessarily a bad thing to have this pandemic shake up all our expectations. Because we might be stuck in a human attachment. We might be just living in nostalgia about how great Christmas was, how we love our Noche Buena. Well, that's fine, but what if God has something new in mind? Are we ready to receive what God is doing? Or are we simply stuck remembering what we're doing? So there's a message here that comes with John the Baptist of the necessity of being open to a new prophet, a new name, a new grace, a new voice. Zechariah gets his voice back after more than 9 months of silence. We'll hear his canticle in tomorrow's gospel. But the new proclamation is about the ways of God, not about the ways of man. Now, on the occasion of the birth of John, and this comes up every year in June 24, the birthday of John, the liturgical celebration of the birthday of John, always 6 months before Christmas, so 6 months ago or 6 months from now. Whenever we read this passage about the birth and naming of John, we are also taught about the importance of and the dignity of names. The name of a person is a kind of a sacred link to the identity of the person. A name is a sacred thing. It's not something to be played with. It's not something to be trivialized. God knows us by name, and so we should have great respect for names. I say Zechariah was a good name, sure. John is an even better name. I've spoken about this before, perhaps I don't have to say it again, but as you know, this respect for names has declined very gravely over the years. It started before I came to the Philippines, for sure, but even in my 25, 26 years here, I've seen it go downhill. There's very little respect for names now, and people are willing to name their children very trite and meaningless names, and that's a sad thing. I'm not saying that's a sin or anything, but it's evidence of a failure to respect the sacredness of the person. Sacredness of the name identifies the sacredness of the person. To have a trivial name or a silly name, a foolish name, makes it seem as if we think that the person is silly or trivial, not worth anything. And that's dangerous, because whenever we don't value human life, there's disaster on the horizon. Here in this country, abortion is not legal, it's still practiced. Far too widely, but at least it's not in the popular mentality that it's a good thing. In the United States, because of years and years of legalized abortion, human life is trivialized. The value of life is trivialized, and that's why there's a lot of murders. There's a lot of disrespect of life. Now, here in this country, we're all shocked by the brutal murder of that young man and his mother by a off-duty policeman in broad daylight and a callous murder. It is shocking, and it's very disturbing that sort of thing could happen, but it's also evidence of a mentality. What is life worth? If you get into an argument, you can just shoot someone? Now, of course, that's a sick mind, but still, that mentality is in the human family these days, that human life isn't really worth that much. It's not that precious. So we can call people any old thing. In the past, I've tried to use examples of names that are inappropriate, but this always backfires on me, because if I say someone's name, I might be identifying a person, and then I violate the very principle I'm trying to teach. Was it last year or 2 years ago I mentioned, I gave as an example, Ding Dong. Someone was called Ding Dong. And then I learned afterwards, there's really a famous person here named Ding Dong. I said, well, I didn't know that. He's an actor or something, an actor. So, and now, see, I can't say Ding Dong is an inappropriate name, because now it identifies a person, and I cannot disrespect the dignity of that man. That's not his real name, is it? Does anybody know his real name? Anyway, that's why it's dangerous to use an example. Although the example nowadays, this year, people are calling their children COVID. You've heard of this? COVID. The COVID babies. There's a number of them. It's been in the news. So, you know, everybody laughs. Whatever. Yeah. Would you name a child COVID? People do it. That shows what do they think of this child? What value are they placing on the child? And what are they doing to the psyche of that child who's going to grow up being called COVID? Now, once the name is given, and once that is the sacred identifying the mark, then the name itself takes on a new value. So the point I'm making is that the person is a value, so the name should be good. But if once a name is attached to a person, same with Ding Dong, now the name itself takes on a value that it didn't have before. When those COVID babies go to before the throne of God, and when they die, God has to greet them, my precious little COVID, welcome. It's hard for us to take it, but God respects names. Now, you won't mind if I just add one more reflection here, because even though names are being disrespected now, and I'm not against any particular person or any parents who have named their children, this is a principle in the church that we should respect persons and therefore respect names. But the only people who are very serious about this nowadays, you'll notice, are the transgender people. They're very serious about their names. And if a man identifies himself as a woman, he no longer wants to be known by his male name. He wants to be use his female name. And if you use the male name, that's a public offense now. They call it dead naming. So they know, these people who identify themselves as transgender, they know that a name has meaning and you can't play around with it. One of the famous examples in the States was Bruce Jenner, who was a very famous Olympic athlete. Bruce Jenner. Well, when he decided he's going to identify himself as a woman, he said, call me Caitlin. Call me Caitlin. Caitlin is a woman's name. So he does not want to be identified as Bruce anymore. And if you do, it's very offensive, not only to him, but it's a kind of a social mortal sin. Even to say Bruce is now offensive to people. But the reason I bring this up is because it shows names really do have meaning. And it's sad that the only people who seem to be respecting names now are those who respect names, but they don't respect their own God-given identity. That's the sad thing. But at least they know that a name is an identity. Okay, well, God knows our names. God knows John from before his conception. He knows each one of us from before our conception. He knows the newness that he has in store for us. And so on this day, second to the last day of Advent, our hearts should be opening more and more with joyful anticipation for the new gift, the new grace, the new era, the new voice that is on the horizon. Lift up your heads and see, your redemption is near at hand.